It's episode 98 of the Hodgepodge Podcast. I'm your host, Doug.
And I'm Dirty A. And tonight, Jeff, we're going to talk about a hodgepodge topic from movies, music, TV, and other mournful pop culture events.
And on this episode, we'll be discussing the careers of David Bowie and Alan Rickman. You can reach us at thehodgepodgepodcast at gmail.com or over on our website, thehodgepodgepodcast.com. Or look us up on YouTube and iTunes and subscribe, or find us on Facebook. Search for the Hodgepodge Podcast and like our page.
And likely, if you're listening to this, you already did all that.
Yes. some news for us as well, much to Dirty A's chagrin. We have a new sister podcast on the Hodgepodge Podcast, and he's trying to get the rent raised.
What?
Our friend Matt King and I do the Crossover Podcast, and we're now hosting that over on the Hodgepodge Podcast. You just got to go over there and just, there's like a menu pull down. You can just click Crossover Podcast. We have all our episodes up there, including the last one, which was a bitch to edit. And yeah, so look for that.
Welcome.
Thanks.
One big dysfunctional happy family.
With our four listeners between all of us. Actually, we've got about, I actually looked at our feed. We have about like 20 something subscribers.
Ooh.
Yeah. So,
100 episodes in. That's like,
yeah. Almost 200, everybody. Yeah. So, as we said at the start, we are going to talk about two sad deaths that occurred this week. And it seems like famous people are dropping like flies this first part of the year. Lemmy from Motorhead died, and
I don't know, but sorry.
Yeah. Well, I know Motorhead because when I worked at Sanctuary Records, we did like metal and stuff, and then they were one of our artists.
I mourn the talent that was obviously lost, but that's just not my.
It's not your wheelhouse.
Yeah.
Grizzly Adams passed away just the other day.
That. Life and Adventures of Grizzly Adams,
And it's just a bunch of people passing away, and the big ones last Monday. We're recording this Sunday, so tomorrow will be a week. David Bowie passed away, and then Alan Rickman died just a couple days ago.
Both the age of 69.
Both at the age of 69. Cancer. And both to cancer. So,
crazy.
Fuck cancer, everybody. But before we get into that, let's talk about, I guess, the biggest news that's going on in the movie world right now. The Oscar nominations came out on Thursday. To me, the biggest surprise was Sicario was not nominated for Best Picture, which I think is a crime.
That's kind of nutso, yeah.
And the funny thing is like, you know, a lot of people, and there's like no real diversity in any of the acting awards. It's all white people,
you know, and that's not a surprise to me. That seems to happen.
Yeah, it happened last year too.
That's an old story, and now it's a new story. You know, I hope it'll be no story one day, but
yeah.
That's not surprising, really, unfortunately.
Well, the movie that people are really pointing to that should have been nominated is Creed. And I disagree with that.
The movie?
Yeah. And Michael B. Jordan. The movie? And Michael B. Jordan.
Maybe Michael B. Jordan. Maybe that's a stretch. I mean, not surprised again that Stallone not only was nominated, but actually, pulled off the Globe. I mean, I think that's just kind of like almost a career thing that they're kind of throwing him because he was fine, but come on, he was not like I don't know that it was an award-winning performance there.
I don't either.
And the movie definitely is not award-winning.
I mean, how are you going to nominate Sylvester Stallone and not nominate Harrison Ford for Star Wars?
There's nothing about that movie that would deserve a nomination per se.
My thing about diversity is people are right, you know, there needs to be more diversity, but they're picking the wrong movie.
Yeah, they are.
It should have been Sicario. And Benicio del Toro should have been nominated for Best Supporting Actor.
Absolutely, yeah.
He was fantastic in that movie. And I got it on Blu-ray the other day, and I was watching it just the other day. That movie's fantastic.
It's so good.
And Emily Blunt probably should have been nominated too, I think.
Yeah, she's good.
I also don't like how they broke up some of the awards. Like Rooney Mara got Best Supporting Actress.
Oh, sure.
For Carol. Right. And not that she didn't deserve it, but if you go to see Carol, which I saw last week, she's the main character.
It's all about her.
It's all about her.
So if you give her the nod, you almost need to give the film itself a nod.
The same thing goes for Alicia Vikander for Danish Girl. She was fantastic in Danish Girl. But as I wrote in my review, which I put out the other day, the movie is really told from her point of view mainly. Sure. It's really her story. I mean, it's definitely about
Lily and, you know, Eddie Redmayne's character who's transitioning to a woman, but it's really kind of told through Gerda. That's
through her eyes. How she handles
it. Right, exactly. Okay. So she really should have been nominated for Best Actress, I think. And people are arguing she should have been nominated for Best Actress and Supporting Actress for Ex Machina, because she was great in that, too. She had a hell of a year.
Yeah.
I think, you know, the Best Actor, a lot of people are saying that Fassbender might be the biggest threat, but I think DiCaprio is going to get it.
I think DiCaprio is going to get it. Up until the Globes, I would have said no way
right.
that the Revenant or DiCaprio would get it. But, I mean, it's got all the steam running behind it now. I mean,
I still think Spotlight will probably win for Best Picture.
I hope so. That's my hope.
Yeah, Spotlight was...
I can't say that anymore. Like before the whole hype of the Revenant, I'm not talking about even after I saw the movie. I'm talking about, you know, after... all the hype of it and then followed that with the Golden Globes.
Right.
I would have said the Spotlight should have been a lock.
Right.
I'm not so sure anymore just because I didn't see that coming. That kind of, I was very surprised with the Revenant sweeping all those Globe categories. But yeah, Spotlight deserves it.
Yeah.
The story itself almost warrants you know, it lends itself, I guess I should say, to winning the award.
Yeah.
But on top of that, you have this ensemble cast that all knock it out of the park.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
And everything about the movie was just great.
And I liked The Revenant a lot. I think I liked it more than you did.
She liked it a lot more than me, yeah.
I Tom Hardy, well-deserved nomination.
Yeah, yeah.
Some people would argue he was better than Leonardo DiCaprio.
I would say he was, and I won't even say that's like Leonardo DiCaprio's fault.
Right.
Leonardo DiCaprio didn't have much to say in the movie. I
mean, well, it was more
for sure.
It was more physical acting.
It was, but still, I didn't see him warning a award-winning performance.
I thought he was really good in it,
but
especially with who he's up against.
It's what it is.
I liked. It was good to see Adam McKay got nominated for Best Director for The Big Short.
Yeah, that was deserved. Of course, The Big Short didn't make the list either.
Yeah, it did.
I'm sorry.
For Best Picture.
I'm still thinking of Golden Globes.
Yeah. It's nominated for Best Picture.
It did for the Academy Awards.
The only movie I haven't seen that got nominated for Best Picture, there was 8 nominees for the Oscars. It was Brooklyn. That's the only one. And it was playing at Raleigh Grand. I should have gone to see it. But
I've missed several. And we'll talk about that, the ones that were missed, when we do our
top 10. Next episode. Yeah, that'll be our top 10. We were going to do our top 10 of 2015 first, but then, you know, when you lose David Bowie and Alan Rickman, you kind of have to talk about it. So that'll be our next episode, which we're going to record today. So that'll be out soon. For me, the only movie that really didn't deserve the nomination for Best Picture was Bridge of Spies. It's a solid movie, but it is not an Oscar
contender. I did not see it. That's another one I didn't see, so I can't
really comment. Yeah, it definitely didn't deserve it.
But from what you told me, and honestly, the reviews of the movie, it didn't seem to warrant.
Yeah, for me, the only person, and he did get nominated for Best Supporting Actor, the only person who probably warranted a nomination was Mark Rylance as Best Supporting Actor. So, but you could have given that also to any number of other people. I'm surprised Steve Carell didn't get nominated. He was great.
Christian Bale was
the lone actor nominated, and Mark Ruffalo,
which is funny because when we did our review on the movie The Big Short, we all commented that he had the least screen time in the movie
next to Brad Pitt. Brad Pitt was a total side character.
He wasn't even one of the main characters, but so that was kind of interesting.
I actually read something I think it was on Collider, that Christian Bale had hurt his knee, and that's part of the reason why he sits down so much in that movie, because he had a knee problem, and he actually just dropped out of Michael Mann's movie about the Ferrari guy.
Weight issues.
Yeah, because he's like, I can't gain all that weight. So it's good. He's looking out for his health. I mean, because he's done the scale.
Yeah, because he's never taken away. Yeah.
I mean,
have you ever seen The Machinist?
Yeah.
Jesus.
And The Fighter. Because The Fighter, he lost a ton of weight.
Well, yeah, Machinist. Yeah.
Yeah. And then after The Machinist, he had to bulk up immediately for Batman.
For Batman, yeah.
So the Oscar nominations, we'll get into that more in depth as we get closer to the ceremony. I'm sure we'll do our live blog again like we did the last 2 years.
Ooh.
Chris Rock.
When is it? What's the date?
End of February. Probably the last Sunday in February, I think. Chris Rock is the host. I'm looking forward to seeing him
As he calls it, the white BET Awards.
I can't wait. And you mentioned the Golden Globes. Golden Globes did happen, as we always comment every year. The Golden Globes, it would have been more prestigious if you and I had an award show for and gave it out to people. But the Golden Globes,
yeah, we comment on how the Academy Awards is very subjective and bought and sold, but the Golden Globes is it's in its own little bubble I don't know what the word I'm looking for is. Not corruption or anything. It's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah.
What ends up winning, much less nominated in these things.
Ricky Gervais was the host. I saw clips of him because I didn't see the ceremony.
I watched it.
He was funny. He was really funny.
Funny as hell. I missed some of it, but like I missed what's in the news now of him talking about Caitlyn Jenner.
Oh, that joke was hilarious. It wasn't even like transphobic. As somebody pointed out online, they're like, if anything, he made a sexist joke about women drivers.
A sexist comment, not a transphobic comment. And I mean, there's so many things wrong with the PC people who are jumping on him now.
Yeah.
First of all, anyone who knows Ricky Gervais knows that he's anything but homophobic or transphobic.
Right, yeah.
He couldn't be more for diverse groups and minorities. But you know, secondly, when you hire Ricky Gervais to host your awards, guess what?
Yeah. And the other thing is, that, like, you know, with Caitlyn Jenner, you know, she's out there on the Kardashian show and her own show and stuff like that. You're out there. You're a target.
Yeah.
Sorry. It's like, you know, I mean, he, like I said, he wasn't making fun of her because of, you know, the transgender stuff. He's making fun of her because
that's very indirect.
She got in a car accident and a person died. So it's like, you know, you're a bad driver.
It was a very indirect comment at the transgender community at best. And, it was funny. He was very funny there.
The drunker
Jim Carrey
he got
was hilarious.
Oh, really?
When he presented, he was very funny.
Yeah.
They announce him as 2-time Golden Globe winner Jim Carrey. Then he comes out and goes, "Hi, I'm 2-time Golden Globe winner Jim Carrey. And when I dream of things different than you. I dream of 3-time Golden Globe winner Jim Carrey." It was really funny.
The Martian won best comedy. Okay.
Whatever. Even Ridley Scott snuffed at that a little bit. That's ridiculous.
Matt Damon won for best actor in a comedy for The Martian.
I mean,
it's ridiculous.
He
was good. We're not saying he wasn't good. He was good in The Martian,
He was good in The Martian. The Martian is a really, really good movie.
It's still not a comedy. And The Revenant won for best drama. DiCaprio won for best actor, and Iñárritu won for best director.
I mean, it hit the trifecta.
Yeah. So
I agree. I tend to agree with that on directing. Actually, I'd probably agree with it more just cinematography in general.
Right.
But directing, because that was one hell of a pretty movie.
Yeah.
And
they shot in all natural light.
So well shot.
Yeah.
I do not see that as the best movie of the year. We'll talk about that more later.
Yeah.
But that was a real surprise to me.
So let's get into our memoriams here. We'll start with David Bowie. David Bowie, what can you say about him? He's one of the most legendary musicians ever to walk the face of the earth. I was never a huge Bowie fan. I'm actually discovering more of his stuff now that he's passed away.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I had the best of Bowie, of course, you know, and like any kid in the 80s, I discovered him through Let's Dance, you know, in
1983. That was his probably his biggest hit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. It was number one. It was like one of his only ones.
One of two. His last number one hit. Yeah.
Was it his last? I thought his last one wasn't something else off that album?
Mm-mm.
I thought Modern
Less
Love.
Dance.
Less Dance?
Less Dance was the only one that went number one.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, okay. But he, you know, even though he wasn't one of my favorite artists, he was the inspiration for a lot of my favorite artists, like Depeche Mode and U2 and Duran Duran.
Not only on the bandwagon of After He Dies,
right?
You know, where people were commemorating him and memorializing him, but even before that, you've never heard anything bad said about David Bowie, either as a person or as an artist.
Yeah,
he's one of those timeless artists.
Yeah,
he was a chameleon.
He had so many
different
personalities or characters.
We'll call it characters.
Because he wasn't insane.
Right. reflected his evolution of music.
Right.
And he was one that wasn't afraid to push the envelope or try new things. And, you know, he was always striving for diversity and social awareness.
Yeah, he's a big hero in the gay community.
He's huge, yeah.
Because, you know, he came out, I guess, early on and said he was bisexual. And then, of course, people hounded him about it later.
He, you know, at one point, I think I don't remember what the term he used, but at one point he changed it and said, I'm not even bisexual, I'm whatever. I'll be attracted to whatever I'm attracted to.
Right.
Kind of thing. But yeah.
He said he was a closet heterosexual. Because he did end up, he was married and he had a son, Duncan Jones, who is the famed director now of Moon and soon to be Warcraft.
If you haven't seen Moon,
you got to see Moon. Yeah, you got to see Moon. He also did Source Code, which was pretty good.
Yeah, Source Code. I enjoyed Source Code a lot. It's nowhere near Moon's caliber. But.
And then Bowie, I guess, in the 90s, I guess, or late 80s, 90s. He married Iman.
Yeah, famous supermodel.
And they've been together ever since and up to his death. And then they have a daughter who's like only, she's only 15, which sucks.
And he just finished his last album.
Right. It came out 2 days before he died.
2 days before he died.
Black Star.
Black Star. And, you know, that it's the first single off that album was kind of interesting. Lazarus.
Yeah, it's prophetic.
Interesting in the time that that album came out and everything.
Yeah.
But, I mean, David Bowie, he's outside of groups like, I mean, including groups like the Beatles and the Rolling Stones and you know, say Elvis Presley and, you know, all these people that everyone knows of that created a genre of music. He did as much for music as anybody.
New wave music in like the 80s and alternative new wave in the 80s and into the 90s wouldn't exist if it wasn't for David Bowie.
Yeah.
It's like I said, I mean, there was an interview back in 2005 with Depeche Mode and they had them all separately and they asked Dave Gahan and Martin Gore and they said, who's the most famous person you ever rubbed shoulders with? And they both immediately were like David Bowie.
Yeah.
And Martin Gore wrote a real nice piece after he died and he wrote a real nice piece about David Bowie. Dave Gahan, if I recall, he lives in New York too. And like there, his kids went to school with like Bowie's kids. So he would see him all the time, you know, so they were like friends. And, you know, Bono came out and, you know, said something nice about him. Of course, Mick Jagger, the Rolling Stones.
Yeah. They have many stories about
yes.
him and Mick at Studio 54 and other places. But
in the trailer at the Dancing in the Streets video. And, I was watching.
By the way, if you haven't watched the Dancing in the Streets video, do it. And then follow that up by watching the Dancing in the Streets video without the music. The musicless Dance with the Streets video is just priceless. That's the most androgynous video you'll ever see in your entire life.
I was watching that video last night, and I'm just like, Mick Jagger looks like somebody's mom in this video.
So weird. You and I have been known to karaoke to that.
Yeah, with that green blouse he has on.
It's like the and silk
his long
hair.
And his long hair. I'm like, he looks like somebody's mom.
It's a weird.
And Bowie has like on like
the yellow.
He has like the trench coat and then the leopard like almost like pajamas on. I'm like, what the hell?
Silk PJs, basically.
How much coke were they doing before they did that video?
Just like aqua leather or aqua silk with yellow silk and just crazy shit going on in that video. But yeah,
literally filmed in 10
Bowie,
minutes.
Bowie, you know, as much as he was more the musicians knew him more as how much he affected music more than probably the popular.
Yeah, he was very avant-garde.
Yeah, so you think like Michael Jackson is how much we the populace think he affected music, which he did. Bowie's right there.
Yeah.
He's just, like you said, he was just a little more niche about what he did.
I read an article by Nile Rodgers, who produced Let's Dance, the album.
Right.
And, you know, he was basically like, Bowie almost didn't know how to handle the success of Let's Dance because it
you
was
mean,
so
he didn't
huge.
Know how to handle the fame?
That's right. What's her name?
Fame!
That was co-written with John Lennon. And then I thought I read something somewhere where John Lennon was like, I was involved in that. So I was like, Bowie might have been high out of his mind. John Lennon wrote on this song.
But that's what, he collaborated with so many people.
He did,
throughout his career. It's insane if you look at the list of times he collaborated. And not just people you might think would be in his wheelhouse. I mean, he stretched himself he gave himself a wide berth when it came to his talents.
Black Star was I forget the name of the group, but he basically worked with like a jazz band on Black Star. Yeah, so it's completely different. Yeah, I mean with the 80s, you know, I loved Let's Dance, Modern Love. That's a fantastic song. All those songs off that album are great. Let's Dance, and then of course there was the Dance with the Streets that came after that. That was around Live Aid. And
85,
like Live Aid, yeah. And then, and I wasn't really familiar with his output in the 90s. I know he did Tin Machine for a while, for a few years. He did Tin Machine in the late 80s, early 90s. But I rediscovered Bowie when I was working for the record label in 03. And we would get CDs from like, because we worked with BMG Sony, so we would get CDs from them and stuff like that. And one day we got Bowie's latest album at the time, Reality. It's a great album. It's really good. I mean, it's a real good rocking album. Really great songs on it. And it's, you know, I would say it's probably underserved because, you know, nobody really was following Bowie at the time.
Yeah, well, see,
you know?
I think that's what it comes down to. That's when the marketing machine gets involved.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, you know, by that time, as with many other artists, Bowie was kind of pigeonholed into that category of being an 70s/80s guy.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, at that time, getting into the new millennium, it was hard for artists from then to
keep
current, which he did, but for studios to believe in them and their work to really get it out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, he was certainly most well known from the 70s with all his, you know, when you talk Major Tom, Ziggy Stardust in the 80s.
Yeah, glam rock and all that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. But man, he really shaped, he was a cornerstone of many different genres, and he's definitely going to be missed.
Yeah, Space Oddity was his first.
Yeah, that was
big
his,
song.
That was
and,
69. Was it 70?
It was because it was right before they land on the moon. Basically, right. That song gets me every time. The lyrics are so sad, and it's like, you know, that's the song. It's about Major Tom. If you don't know David Bowie, and it's just it's like heartbreaking. That song, I love it.
It's a great song.
You know, he did, you know, Changes and Fame, Fashion,
Under Pressure with Queen.
You know, my favorite song by Bowie though is Rebel Rebel. I love that song. Yeah. And there's a great T-shirt that's out there. That's it's basically it's an artist rendering, but it's Carrie Fisher as Princess Leia, and then she has the Ziggy Stardust like lightning bolt
going through her face.
Going on her face, that's and it says Rebel Rebel.
That's just such a great riff that song has.
Oh, that's like, fantastic just, song. Love that song.
I just saw this morning where the boss Bruce Springsteen covered that song, and he's touring now.
Right,
he's covering that song.
Oh, good,
tribute
yeah.
to it. It sounded really good.
Yeah,
but there are some bad tributes out there for him. If you've heard Smash Mouth's version of Under Pressure,
oh, I don't know if I've ever heard that.
Oh, it's the worst thing
I don't
ever.
Know if I've ever heard
it's
that.
It's so bad. They like released it following his death.
Oh my god,
like, as a tribute.
I know
it's the worst sounding thing you ever hear.
I know the Wildflowers did Heroes.
Right.
That was an okay version. I really like Peter Gabriel's version. It's much, much different. He really slowed it down and made it almost like a ballad.
And that's Peter Gabriel for you.
Right.
I mean, he's the same kind of artist.
Right.
He's going to do things his way.
Exactly. Yeah. And that was featured in Lone Survivor, that movie with Mark Wahlberg and Ben Foster. And Taylor Kitsch was in that movie too. And the thing with Heroes, actually, that's... you know, for me, it's a famous, it's not a legend because it did happen, but Dave Gahan, when he auditioned to become the lead singer for Depeche Mode, when Vince Clark's like, we need a real singer, not just me. So they auditioned singers, and Dave Gahan famously sang Heroes, basically, to get the job to be in Depeche Mode. Do you have a favorite song?
Man, it's always hard for me to pick a favorite song.
Yeah,
if we're talking solo, Let's Dance might be right up there.
Yeah, Let's Dance is one of my favorites.
It's
too.
So good.
And I know the purists. I know the purists probably hate that song.
I've really lately been digging. Is There Life on Mars?
Mm-hmm.
I like that song. Rebel Rebel's hard to beat though.
Yeah,
that's freaking such a catchy song.
There's a lot of and now that it's sad because now that I'm doing this now that he's passed, but
Blue Jean.
Yeah, Blue Jean. But I want to go back. He did an album in 2013 because what happened was on the reality tour, the tour that he did for that album, he had a heart attack, and he kind of vanished. He was like, I'm just gonna, you know, lay low and recuperate, and he kind of vanished, and people thought we'd never hear from David Bowie again. And then in 2013 he came out with this album called The Next Day, which was like, came out of nowhere, and people are like, holy shit. And it's, I listened to a few clips of some tracks last night on iTunes. It's really good. Yeah. I definitely want to get that. I need to buy Black Star. I watched two videos off of that. I watched the Lazarus video.
I'll probably watch the same too, yeah.
And I watched the video for Black Star. It was like 10 minutes long.
Yeah.
it's a bizarre song.
Of course it is.
Right, but the video is very, you know, there's like an astronaut with a skull in it, and people are like, that's got to be Major Tom.
Right.
You know, so
it's a lot of little callback things. The video for Lazarus is really freaking weird.
Yeah, it is too.
I
mean, you know, and it's when you watch those videos, you look at him, and you're like, you know, he didn't look well. I mean, he didn't, you know,
David Bowie's always thin,
right?
But he's
thin white Duke.
No, that's right, the thin white Duke. But he was, you know. He looks sickly.
Yeah,
you can see it.
Compared to the videos that he did for The Next Day in 2013, where he did a video with Tilda Swinton, you know, and stuff like that.
Yeah, but that said, I mean, looks more sickly, but he was still pretty spry. Like the photo shoots that they had.
Like, yeah, they showed the last photo of him, and he looked. He was smiling, and it was like literally taken like a few days before he died.
Yeah.
And it's so strange how that happens, because, you know, my dad had cancer, and like he would have good days and bad days, and you know, it's weird how it works.
Interesting, weird disease. Yeah.
So on top of that, on top of like what a musical genius he was, David Bowie was also a great actor.
Yep.
He was in a lot of movies and a lot of good movies, and he did really well in them. His biggest, I guess, his debut.
We'll call it,
His debut, and probably his most
well known
was the Man Who Fell to Earth.
Yeah,
when he played an alien, and Bowie had like these weird eyes, and they played on that a lot. Like one was like bright blue, and then the other one, like his pupil was almost like dilated, and it was almost like a greenish color on the outer edge, on the iris. And so he played an alien in The Man Who Fell to Earth. I mean, he played like the Elephant Man, like on Broadway and stuff like that.
On Broadway, Ziggy Stardust.
And then he was in Labyrinth
in 86.
He did Labyrinth.
Jim Henson, apparently, that was basically like a serendipitous meeting that they had that led him to be in that role.
Yeah,
but I think most of the younger people certainly would know him
from Labyrinth. Yeah, where he played the Goblin King.
And he's got his famous magic dance in there.
Yeah, and that was a collaboration between Lucas and Jim Henson.
Yeah.
And I remember I was in the Star Wars fan club at the time, even because they still had it running, even in the mid-80s after Return of the Jedi had ended. And they released their little newsletter called Bantha Tracks. And on the cover of it was the three of them, Jim Henson, and David Bowie and George Lucas. I don't know if I even have it somewhere stashed away, so I don't think I do. But that was Labyrinth. He was also...
I hear some people like to dress up. Like...
Yeah, some people do.
Yeah.
Some people do. And some people have.
Yes, they have.
He was also, he did a cameo in Zoolander, which was hilarious.
It's a dance-off.
He judged the walk-off.
Walk-off, sorry.
He judged the fashion walk-off because, of, you know, like we said, he had the song Fashion, which was one of his biggest hits.
Turn
to the room. I was actually hoping, and I looked on IMDb. Unfortunately, he's not on there. I was actually hoping he was going to end up maybe doing a cameo in Zoolander 2, but he's not. That comes out in February. He did a great bit that's floating around online right now on Ricky Gervais's Extras, show Extras.
I never saw that.
You never saw Extras?
Never watched Extras.
Oh, my God. This clip is hilarious. Did you watch the clip?
Nope.
Ricky Gervais, he met David Bowie. He related the story of how he met David Bowie. And somebody gave Bowie The Office on DVD. And then out of the blue, David Bowie emails Ricky Gervais. He goes, I watched. I laughed. Now what? And they basically became like pen pals. So when Ricky Gervais did Extras, David Bowie came in. He had a ton of... Every episode, he had like a cameo from a famous person. Like Daniel Radcliffe was in one where he's talking about sex all the time, which is hilarious. Harry Potter talking about sex and condoms and stuff like that. Patrick Stewart was on it, and he was hilarious. Great on it. But Bowie, the setup is that Ricky Gervais is a comedian who he's kind of like himself in real life.
Right.
That he made a sitcom on the BBC, and it has like catchphrases and stuff like that. And he as an artist, he hates it, but it's bringing him success.
Sure.
So he goes to this club, and they put him in the, quote, VIP section, where, like, it's basically, like, cordoned off with, like, a velvet rope. He had to pay, like, I forget, he said, like, 60 quid to get in there. And then right on the other side of the velvet rope is Stephen Merchant, who's his manager, and the other guy, I forget the other guy's name, his other client, who's a jackass. But he's like, oh, that's too bad, that's too bad. Oh, you paid 60 quid, that's too bad. And then they see David Bowie. David Bowie's there. And he goes up and talks to Bowie, and he's just telling him who he is. And he goes, oh, yeah, I don't like it. You know, I'm in the BBC. And all of a sudden, Bowie just goes, sorry, little fat man. And he just writes a song about him on the spot, how he's pathetic and a loser. And all of a sudden, he starts playing the piano that's there. And then he gets the whole crowd in the bar and starts singing it. It is so funny. It is fucking. And then Ricky Gervais just like, no, that's great. That's great. He goes, he's like, sad little fatty. No, not fatty. Sad little fatso. And then, like, the woman who is friends with Ricky Gervais, she goes, I like fatso. He goes, yeah, fatso works. He goes, fatso took his own life. And, like, Ricky Gervais is like, yeah, this is great. It's brilliant. It is. You have to look it up.
I'll look it up.
Just like a Bowie extras. And it's fucking hilarious. He my favorite thing he did comedy-wise was he did he was on Conan O'Brien's show a lot. And this was back, you know exactly what I'm going to say. He did the late night show.
Cincinnati.
Yeah, and then he did a bit on there. So many people did it. Tom Hanks, yeah. John Ritter did it, the late John Ritter.
Harrison Ford
did it. And Bowie did this bit called Celebrity Secrets. And they have him like in like a police interrogation room.
Yeah.
And then like he's smoking a cigarette and they go, Bowie, secrets. And he goes, one night in 1989, I was playing a concert in Cincinnati. And I said, it's great to be in Cincinnati. That was a lie.
Bowie, secrets.
Yeah. So he did another one. They do like a series of them. Yeah. And he goes, every time I'm out in public, someone comes up to me and says, hey, let's dance. I hate to dance. Because I hate dancing. Fucking hilarious. Yeah, but the best one was Cincinnati. So funny. That was a lie.
That was a lie.
And then, of course, you know, because it's me, I have to mention he was also in Christopher Nolan's The Prestige.
Yes.
Well, he was great.
He was Tesla.
He was, yeah, Nikola Tesla. And he was really, really good at that, too. It's so he was in. He was also in.
Destroy this infernal machine. Never use it.
He was also in, because as I was going through like his filmography, he was also in The Last Temptation of Christ, Martin Scorsese's film.
Yeah.
He played Pontius Pilate.
Yeah. Huh.
Yeah, so Bowie popped up all over the place.
Well, yeah, once again, it's a chameleon. Just doing his thing all different kinds of places.
And apparently he was friends with Rosie O'Donnell, because I was watching a clip last night on YouTube.
Huh. Well, that, I don't know what I have to say about that. Nothing, probably. So, yeah, we are definitely, you know, collectively as a music nation, music world, going to mourn his loss. You know, he just brought so much to the table. So and but you know what? It's stuff that will keep going on. You know,
he'll live on forever.
Yeah, he's not done. He will keep shaping the way things have done through everything that he's done up till now.
One other thing that he was not personally involved with, but he as a character is involved with on Venture Brothers.
They have had him
on there, and he is the character of the Sovereign. So if you watch Venture Brothers, I think they tried to actually get Bowie on the show to do it, but they couldn't get him, and because Venture Brothers is like this little two man operation basically that they, you know,
right,
and but his character on that show is very, very funny, and like there's one point like he's at a wedding and he's walking the bride down the aisle and they go, okay, you have to go, and he goes, I know when to go out. It's the first line from Modern Love. So it's great. But yeah, definitely David Bowie will be missed for sure. Another person who will be missed, Alan Rickman,
passed away. A few days later, yep.
A few days later, passed away. Alan Rickman was an accomplished British actor. Theater and screen, and he really burst onto the scene, the public consciousness, I would say, in Die Hard.
Die Hard. I mean, that was his first...
It was very big
commercial
thing.
Role.
Yeah, big thing.
Yeah, Hans Gruber.
That's Hans Gruber, probably one of the most iconic screen villains of all time. Some people were like, he's the most iconic. I'm like, Darth Vader, hello. Yeah. So it's like, come on. It's like, I like Hans Gruber.
He
but
is
come
right
on.
Up there.
He is.
He's such a great actor. And it's funny to me how everyone knows who he is just through the very limited roles on screen that he actually has in general. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. It's not like he's done 50 plus movies or something like that. I mean, it's pretty limited in scope of what people might have seen him in. Yet everyone knows who he is. And of course, most of that's due to Harry Potter.
What?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I hate that. That's not what I know him for.
Why you hate Harry Potter? It's good.
I don't hate Harry Potter. I couldn't get into it. Anyway.
He also, he kind of made a living playing villains on screen for the most part. He was also in Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves. He was the Sheriff of Nottingham.
Yes, he was.
In that. And a lot of people don't like that movie in retrospect.
It's all right.
I mean, I loved it when it came out. The time when it came out.
If I were to watch it now, I'd be like, this is complete shit.
But I mean, because, you know, people didn't like Kevin Costner and his American accent. And then, you know, and then Will Scarlett's his brother, played by what's his face? Christian Slater. And
Christian
Slater was. And then he has his Muslim friend played by Morgan Freeman.
Yeah.
But nobody would argue that Alan Rickman was fantastic as the Sheriff of Nottingham. He was fuck nuts in that movie.
It was great. Yeah.
Take his heart out with a spoon. And then shortly after that, he played the Metatron, or the voice of God, in Kevin Smith's Dogma.
Yeah.
That's another movie that I think a lot of people slag off these days.
It's a very underrated movie.
But I like Dogma.
I love Dogma. I thought it was a great movie, but I'm a with a few omissions, I'm a big fan of Kevin Smith in general.
Yeah, me too. I like Kevin Smith.
But yeah, Dogma was fantastic and Rickman really lent a lot of credibility to that movie. I believe he was the first notable actor to sign up for that movie outside of Kevin Smith's friends and stuff.
Yeah, because like they had Matt Damon and Ben Affleck.
Yeah, but they were if you will, of Kevin. I mean, all three of them were kind of very tied together.
Yeah, they were probably filming that, I would say probably before they won the Oscar for
Good Will Hunting.
Yeah. So, you know, and Ben Affleck was also in Mallrats, so he was still like a friend of Kevin Smith, and then he brings his buddy Matt Damon.
Up necessarily yet. But he was great as the voice of God.
He was really good. No genitals, but
that's right.
And he can't drink alcohol, but you know, other than that,
he can swirl it around his mouth, but he can't imbibe, so he just spits it back out. Yeah.
And then also that same year, he was in a movie where, he wasn't a villain in Dogma, but you know, and then in this next movie, he wasn't a villain either. Beloved comedy, I would say, of nerds.
Oh,
Galaxy Quest.
Yeah.
Where he played Leonard Nimoy to Tim Allen's William Shatner. Galaxy Quest was a movie where they were on this old, like Star Trek, this old sci-fi TV show that died out. And now they live on in the conventions and all this stuff. Right. And they hate it. They hate going to the conventions and stuff like that. But they go because that's what they're known for. And then what happens is there's an alien race who picked up the transmissions of the TV show and thought it was real.
It was real, yeah.
And then they need help. So they go to these actors and bring them up to their ship, and they have to basically play the role that they played on TV.
It's a fun little movie.
It is. It's a funny movie. Yeah. It's really good. What is it by Grabdar's Hammer? I Shall Avenge You.
It's a quirky little fun movie, and it's definitely a cult favorite of geeks.
Yeah, it's really, really funny. Yeah. It's really, really good.
And then I guess Harry Potter jumps in there.
Yeah, he was in Love Actually as well.
Yeah, I think, was that before any Harry Potter?
I think so. I think it might have been. Or it was right around the same time as Harry Potter was getting started.
Okay, here, it was Sorcerer's Stone, he did that first, and then Chamber of Secrets.
And then Love Actually. Okay.
And Love Actually, has a great role, a very understated role, which is how he, even when he has these huge roles like outside of, you know, your Nottingham type of roles. He can play very underrated, you know, low key, but still bring the impact of anyone who might be yelling at the screen. I mean,
right.
He's very powerful in how quiet he can be on screen.
Yeah.
It's just his voice. He's got this voice that's just, kind of draws you to it.
Yeah.
One of my favorite roles that he did though is, not well known at all. I believe you've seen it though. It was it was an HBO movie.
I never saw it, but I know what you're talking
something
about.
Something the Lord Made.
Yeah.
And it's him and Mos Def.
Right.
It's a really good movie, and he plays Alfred Blaylock. Alfred, I think that's the guy's name.
Yeah.
Alfred Blaylock, who, it's the movie is about the first heart transplant.
Right.
And it is a really good movie about...
Does HBO, right?
HBO, yeah. Right. About the first heart transplant, and it also has a lot of racial undertones in there because
right.
his it's not even his doctor, but his technician, who was played by Mos Def,
right?
Because is basically the one who pioneers
right
the procedure.
What year was that take place in?
Oh, I don't know.
It wasn't.
It's you know, 19
was it early, 60s or something like that, or later.
Yeah, it was. I want to say 50s. It was. I want to say it was before the 60s because
oh, okay,
it was. This was back when it was still the whole reason why he had to be the front man. And he had a lot to do with it too, Blaylock, was because they didn't want a black face.
Right, right.
Known for this procedure.
Right.
But really good movie. Mos Def was great too. But,
yeah.
He's
good. Mos Def's a good actor, right?
Yeah. But that's one that always gets me. Whenever it's on, I always watch it.
Right.
I really enjoy that one. And it's not one most people would have seen, but
right.
I suggest everyone check that out.
As Dirty A mentioned, he was in the Harry Potter movies. That's how younger audiences will know Alan Rickman. He was Severus Snape. If you know anything about the Harry Potter story.
I don't.
I know you don't. He starts out as a villain, and then you find out towards the end of
the
series that he was really not.
Looking after him.
Yes, that he really was not. And it's very... He had a real arc in the story, and for me, the Harry Potter movies, you know, say what you want about them, because I know that some people don't like them. Most people do, but some people don't.
Yeah.
Say what you want. It's amazing to me that, except for Dumbledore, they kept the same people from
that is
the first movie through all eight movies. And the only reason why Dumbledore wasn't is because Richard Harris passed away.
That's amazing.
He passed away after the second movie.
That's a long time to have the entire cast.
The same cast.
Coming back. Of course, when you're a juggernaut that's making nothing
right.
but oodles of money over money over money, it's kind of hard to turn that down.
Right. But you have some... But I know Robbie Coltrane was kind of getting tired of it, and he was like, I don't know if I'm going to come back.
No, you're right.
But he is Hagrid.
And no one, even myself, who's not a fan, I really can't speak anything terrible about it. I just never could.
You never got into it.
Get into it, but no one can deny the pop culture identity of Harry Potter and what that's become today.
And still, all those British actors, no room for Martin Freeman. Stay out, Hobbit. No room for you here. speaking of Martin Freeman, he was in a movie with Alan Rickman where Alan Rickman played the voice of a robot. And he played Marvin, the paranoid android in Hitchhiker's Guide to the
That's
Galaxy.
Right. That's right.
And he was great in that movie as the robot.
It was funny.
He's just like, it's all going to end in tears.
We're done. Yeah.
We're finished. And he was like the depressive android, which was great. He was in Sweeney Todd. I never saw Sweeney Todd. I'm not a musical guy, so I never saw Sweeney Todd.
No, I didn't see that either. What else is the butler? He played Ronald Reagan.
He played Ronald Reagan.
Interesting.
Yeah, that was interesting casting.
Turn of casting there.
He did a good job.
He was
really good in it.
It was pretty convincing. I see on here is CBGB. I watched that.
You did. Yeah.
It was interesting.
He was like the owner, right?
He was the owner. You know, it wasn't showcasing his talents or anything,
right.
But he was good in that.
He did a movie called A Little Chaos, which came out in 2014, and I believe he directed that as well. He was most definitely the director, and he did have a hand in writing it as well. We didn't see that because that's more of like a period piece. That's not really our bag. But that had Kate Winslet was in it, and Stanley Tucci. Yeah, Matthias Schoenaerts was in it. This is a guy that I think is going to probably blow up soon in America because he's been showing up here and there. He was actually in The Danish Girl. He plays a pivotal role in The Danish Girl. I think he's getting ready to blow up. Alan Rickman is going to appear in two movies left this year. A movie called Eye in the Sky, which I've seen the trailers for. It looks really good, actually.
Yeah, based on Alan Parsons' project, The Band.
It's not a documentary
on the Alan Parsons project.
He basically plays a general, and it's about drones and stuff like that. And they are trying to extract an extremist. And then what happens is they find out that the extremist and her friends have like suicide bombs, suicide vests in the building. So now the decision comes down. Do we blow it up?
Do you blow up the building
with some collateral damage? Yeah. Or do we try and continue to capture them? Helen Mirren's in it.
The trailer for it is pretty engaging.
It looks good. So he'll be in that. And he's also going to be as the Blue Caterpillar. The voice of the Blue Caterpillar. He'll be in Alice.
I think Alice through the Looking Glass. Too. His voice is just phenomenal.
He had a great voice. Yeah. He really did. Yeah. It's a sad.
He's another one that you know you've never heard anything ill spoken about the man.
No, I mean everybody to a person, it said he was like the greatest guy you ever meet, and so nice,
very philanthropic, and
very, very generous to young actors. And, you know, Daniel Radcliffe wrote a really nice thing about
him. I read that.
A really nice piece. Nice, yeah. There was another kid who was in, he was only in like two of the Harry Potter movies. He played Wood. Wood was the, he was the captain of the Gryffindor Quidditch team. And he met Alan Rickman prior to Harry Potter. And they formed a friendship that lasted like 20 years. You know, and he was very, very kind, very generous to young actors. Very much about the craft, and it's a great loss for the acting world and for movie fans.
Yeah,
you know, Emma Thompson, they were in a bunch of movies together, and you know, she had nice things to say about him.
Mm-hmm.
And just you know, really sad, really sad. Nobody knew he was sick, basically, and I think he was Bowie was sick for about a year and a half, and I think I think Alan Rickman was very brief. It was very quick, I think, but again, cancer, and it's a shame. It's a real shame.
But they brought us and continue to bring us a lot of joy.
Yeah,
through their work. So
yeah,
I know. I'm not done watching my last Die Hard.
Well, you're not because they're going to reboot it.
I mean, the original and only Die Hard that I. will ever call truly.
How stupid is that? They're going to do the origin story of Die Hard. The origin story is Die Hard.
Yeah, that is the origin story. That's how he becomes who he is. Like, what are you talking about? The origin story.
So stupid.
It is dumb.
Don't fuck up the Han Solo movie.
Shoot the glass.
The glass. Shoot it. That'll do it for this episode of the Hodgepodge Podcast. This very somber episode of the Hodgepodge Podcast. If you are looking for David Bowie stuff to download, obviously The Best of Bowie is a great place to start. It has all his hits on there up until, I forget how far that collection goes.
It extends.
Maybe the end of the 80s, probably.
Definitely through the end of the 80s, yeah.
There's also another collection out there that goes up to 87, I think. And then check out his latest stuff. And definitely check out Reality. That was the 2003 album, which is very underrated.
I'll have to do that.
Yeah, there's a great... I can loan it to you. There's a lot of great songs in there. Fall Dog Bombs, The Moon, Never Get Old. Just really, really great stuff. And if you're looking for Alan Rickman stuff to watch, Die Hard. No better place to start than Die Hard.
That's where you got to go right there.
Love Actually, which is a really good movie.
Something the Lord Made, I would suggest.
Yeah, Something the Lord Made.
And Harry
Potter. Harry Potter. And especially the last few Harry Potter films where Snape's arc kind of comes to a close. Our next episode, which we're going to record in probably about 10 minutes. our next episode will be our best films of 2015. And I think it's going to be an interesting list.
You don't want to miss it.
You don't want to miss it. Will Star Wars be there? I don't know. We'll see. Maybe. Who knows?
Yes.
But yeah, so join us for that episode, and we will see you next time.
Song.